So Chris Skinner phones me up and says, let's have a morning by the seaside. And I said, oh, yes, please. Ice cream and kiss me quick hats and all sorts of things like that. So here we are on a beach about 15 miles from Chris's farm, and it is pouring with rain. It's completely deserted here. And Chris has had to improvise with, what's this?
It's a bin liner over my head. I didn't make a hole in it. I didn't bring a coat because when we left High Ash Farm, it was reasonably dry and almost sunny there. And then we've hit some sort of coastal showers. But we're right by the sea here. You can hear it roaring away in the background. There's some good breakers coming in. A bit of an onshore wind this morning. And I brought us here because at High Ash Farm, we had the valleys and the hills, and all the way round the sort of hills, about halfway up them, is a layer of pure sand. And it's always fascinated me because it's the same sand as we have here. It's only 14, 15 miles away as the crow flies to this point of the Norfolk coast from High Ash Farm. And sand forms in a really interesting way. The sea is constantly pounding shingle and rocks. Over the millennia, all the shingle sort of butts together, and eventually little tiny chips break off it and it forms sand. And so we have many parts of the Norfolk coast have sand all the way around. Some have pure shingle, and when you see the big waves coming in on the shingle, it sort of smashes them together and you have sand forming. Now that's the bit that fascinates me. So we're standing looking out to sea. The waves are coming in towards us, but can you see they're not coming in straight up the beach? They're coming at an angle, like from over there. They're following the wind.
Yes, you're facing north, aren't you? We're here,
yes,
at Winston-on-Sea,
yes,
which is very popular in the summer, not so popular today, but there's this angle. But fairly constant wave action coming in.
Absolutely, but it's coming in at an angle, and that's the important thing. And it's got a particular name. It's called swash. Right, that's the important thing. It's coming in sideways, and I've always thought it meant sideways wash. Two words kind of joined together, but it isn't that. It's really just the sound that we're hearing here, this lovely sort of constant sound of the waves coming in on shore. But something interesting happens when the waves go back down the beach. They go back at right angles, so you've got waves coming in from one direction and the water going back at another direction, and over time it moves the sand further down the beach until the next point, either the next bay. So here we've got a wave coming in right towards us, but it's a different angle to the waves coming in off the sea. There it goes back, and it's going back at right angles down the beach, look. So it's actually moving all these little particles further down.
So we're facing south, and that's where the drift is it?
Yes, the drift is further southwards at the moment.
And Great Yarmouth is about 4 or 5 miles
that's
that
right
way,
and there's been quite a lot of erosion down there. And only a mile further down the beach, the same amount of erosion as there has been at Winterton-on-Sea here, and that's at Hemsby, and there's been some serious erosion there. The erosion here at Winterton happened about 3 years ago, and where we're standing would have been about 25 to 30 feet high, and it's all washed away onto the beach. And further down there, just south of Winterton, before you get to Hemsby, some of the dunes were 80 or 90 feet high, and they're all in the sea now. So this part of the coastline that we're standing on is raised up 3 or 4 feet, so the erosion has actually stopped here. But the old beach caff has gone. There's still some rocks sort of 30, 40 yards out from the cliffs there, all made of sand.
That brings it home, doesn't it?
Yes.
You can definitely see there 50-odd yards.
Yes.
Has just disappeared.
Absolutely. So, on dry, sunny days, which makes me smile, we haven't got today.
I've just put a vision in your mind here. I have sat here for virtually a whole day with my windbreak and my...
Your knotted handkerchief on your
all
head.
All of that, yes, with the test match on the radio. On happier occasions, yes.
Anyway, on dry, sunny days, the wind comes in off the sea and the sand layer dries very, very quickly on the top. I've been here on days when it's not always sunny, but it's been very windy, and it's like standing being shot blasted. So even at 4 or 5 feet high, and if I brought a dog with me, I just feel so sorry for the dog that we desert the beach and go up on the top of the sand dunes. So we're now walking back up the beach, and something interesting happens. So when this sand blows up the beach on dry, hot, sunny days, it will reach what we call the strand line, which is the limit of the high tides at any particular time of year.
And there's some seaweed here, isn't
there? Exactly that, yes. So there's last night's high tide, and the night before is even further back up the beach. So obviously the moon is in abeyance at the moment, so the tides aren't quite so high. And usually, if you get a period of long calm weather, you'll have some sea plants growing along this strand line. Things like Scarlet Pimpernel. We have Scarlet Pimpernel at the farm, but the coastal pimpernels have a much deeper root system, so they're able to sort of start forming what we call a foredune. That sounds like some terrible disaster, a foredune, but it actually starts to establish dunes. So the sand will blow in and cover those plants up, and then you'll get a big autumn storm, and it does away with all the four dunes, but the dunes behind here will still remain. So only another 20 paces or so and we get to the sand cliff. And they say you should never build a house on top of sand, and you can see why here, because it's all cascading in onto the beach.
That's about 15-20 foot high, isn't it?
At least that,
but
Matthew.
As crumbly as an OXO cube.
Other cubes are available, yes, but interestingly, big clumps of marin have cascaded down, and they're just trying to get another foothold. But two species of grass, apart from the marin grass, also start off. They're called lyme grass and sea couch grass. Sea couch grass sort of starts off because the seeds will blow out down here, quite close to the sea. And a lot of respect for couch. We have it at the farm. It's a slightly different species, but it grows by rhizomes. And that's the secret of this grass growing up on top here, the marum, because as we walk up, we'll try and scramble back up. It's quite a steep climb for
but
us.
But the marum binds a lot of this together, doesn't it?
It does, but when you have coastal erosion, there's absolutely nothing to stop it, because the sand is so crumbly underneath it, it just washes away if the sea's able to get up. And as we're having sea level rises at the moment, there's nothing to stabilise this, because it's just like you'd have an egg timer. It's very, very fine sand. And this is all blown up from the beach. This is quite surprising. But marum has got a trick up its sleeve. So we're right near the top now. Go up a little bit more. Quite a climb.
You didn't tell me there wasn't a lift. Or an elevator.
Right. Now, this is... we've reached the top of the marum cliff. And underneath there, where it's all cascaded away, we've got these roots. Here's one. And it's a rhizome. And all the way up the little rhizome, you have little knots. And every time, if the knot is exposed, it will send up a shoot like this, a sharp shoot. And that penetrates through. Then you can see some seedlings on the top here of the marum grass. They're tiny. They're not actually seedlings. They come from these rhizomes underneath. So if I scrab that away, we would find a rhizome underneath. So very few plants can stand this kind of habitat, because it's so fragile. The marum grass is growing. There's virtually no fertility here on the sand. So it's an absolute miracle plant, but it won't and it can't combat sea level rise. That's the problem with it. It will stabilise sand, and you can have these big dunes forming, sometimes 60, 70, 80 feet tall, all brought in by the wind. So the wind comes in, moves the sand off the beach up here when it comes in offshore and forms these massive dunes.
And there are acres here, aren't there? Acres and acres.
There's several hundred acres here. But as you move inland, gradually the marum grass decays down forms humus in the soil, so you start to have other plants like sea holly, sea bindweed, all forming again in this very high salinity situation. But it's not acidic because there's a lot of shells mixed in with the sand, all broken up, so it's quite a lot of lime in the soil. So absolutely brilliant habitat. So the further you walk in over the top of the dunes, the marron grass gradually drops away and you'll have grasses, then you'll have rabbits grazing and you start to have a different habitat forming. But in between the dunes you'll have hollows and they're called dune slacks, and you'll have special amphibians living in there, reptiles as well, sand lizards, not particularly in this part of Norfolk, but we have adders here at Winterton. They love this habitat as well. And in the dune slacks you'll have water even in the middle of summer, and you'll have a special variety species of toad there called natterjack toads. They're quite amazing. You can be a quarter of a mile that way, and if the natterjack toads are calling where we're standing, you can hear them at a huge distance.
This site is so important for natterjacks, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is. Slightly different to our normal toad. They have a line, a yellow line down their back. But if you disturbed one and tried to pick it up to put it to safety, they exude a really powerful smell. It's a mixture of gunpowder and burnt rubber. That's the only way to do, with a little bit of sulphur mixed in. It's quite distinctive. So they're so kind of toxic that other animals will tend to leave them alone. But the habitat in those dune slacks that they lay their spawn in has to be in water. If it dries out, then the whole generation for next year dies away. So again, like all dune habitats, it's very, very fragile.
And bird life, do we see ground nesting birds like yes. terns here?
Yes, absolutely. This is a brilliant spot for terns, oyster catchers, sanderlings along the front of the beach here. And sometimes you'll see gulls as well doing sort of extraordinary tricks. I've seen blackhead gulls and herring gulls standing close to the water's edge, just out of the water, and they paddle their feet up and down like this. And that's to mimic the waves coming over. And that means if there's any worms just under the soil or cockles under there, the worms will think it's the tide running over the top of them, things like lugworms or ragworms as well, and they then gobble them up. So it's a trick that they learn. So sometimes you see unusual behaviour. Another lovely bird usually comes along here in little flocks is turnstones, and they'll be examining any of the little flints and small rocks. Only about up to fist size, they can flick those over with their beaks and get any soil, sort of any invertebrates underneath there, sort of small crabs, shrimps, prawns as well. And at this time of the year, once we're up to middle of November, which we are, and beyond, sometimes you'll sort of utter some sort of swear word under your breath because you'll see sort of white blobs blowing across the top of the beach and think, oh no, somebody's dropped a whole load of polystyrene. But it's not that, it's snow buntings which come across the North Sea to join our resident buntings, birds like yellowhammers, same family, but the males are astonishingly white and show up against the beach sand absolutely beautifully. And this is a favourite habitat for them just here at Winterton. I've often seen flocks of them just feeding on any seeds that blow off the top of the dunes. They'll eat the marram grass seed, which seeds at this time of the year. When you look down across the top of the dune, Matthew, you can see some of the seed heads of the marram here, and that's a really important grass species for stabilising dunes that are not going to be washed away by the rising sea.
One thing I can see though, Chris, and let's just say straight away that there is some evidence of seabirds out to sea, but it's very grey and as you might be able to hear, very wet here today, but sandflies, insects are still there and buzzing around, aren't
they? Yes, of course. And any visiting birds that come in off the coast, off the near continent, it can be really cold just a few hundred miles east of us. and the birds will fly westwards to come across to our more hospitable environment. Birds like woodcock will make an early landfall here, and they will be looking for soil invertebrates, things like worms. But other birds will come across the North Sea and will be looking for those sandflies that you pointed out there, still in the rain on the top of the marram grass, just waiting for the weather to dry out to perhaps complete their life cycle. A lovely silhouette of some of the flies. And we're cruising up to winter now, so, and right out to sea, just as we arrived, I saw a lovely little pocket of scoters, common scoter ducks, which spend most of their life out to sea, jet black ducks, right out, perhaps half a mile out there, fishing for mussels out to sea. Just an amazing array. And always you can see seals here, right at this part of the Norfolk coast.
But not today.
No.
Where are they? They'll be giving birth soon, won't they?
They certainly will. Just a little bit further down the coast here at Horsey, only half a mile away from where we are. That's a good haul-out point for them. And this is the time of year they give birth, the common seals. And there's a heck of a population here, and they'll be here over the next month or two. Lovely, absolutely lovely to see. Just remember, keep your dogs on a lead if you bring them here.
Keep away from the seals. Although the numbers are extraordinary. When I was a boy 50 years ago, it was very much a rarity to see a seal. Now you can barely help seeing them.
There is one. It just popped its head up, Matthew.
See?
Only about 25 yards out.
Rest my case, my lord.
There's another one just there, right in front of us.
Oh, my word, look at that. You can see the outline. That's a grey seal, isn't it?
Perfectly. Absolutely wonderful sight.
Right
there
on
you are.
Cue.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Just got his head up.
I think he's doing the butterfly.
No, he's just watching these two strange men, because I look a bit worrying because I've got a black bin liner over my head. I rather look like a seal.
Well, I hope you're enjoying our postcard from Winston-on-Sea on the Norfolk coast on a very grey and wet day. But just painting a picture. At the back here, we've got the magnificent Winterton Church, one of the tallest medieval church towers anywhere, and acres and acres, hundreds of acres of the marram grass. And then these the black fishermen's huts, and I know you've been to see the fishermen recently, and the sea defences, which are now stranded out on the shoreline because of this erosion. Looks almost like a latter-day Stonehenge.
I think you're quite right. I'd already thought that, actually. It does look really strange, and it's arranged in a semicircle. Those blocks weigh 2 to 3 tonnes each. The sea hasn't tried to shift them, but the sea's gone round the back of them and said, I'm coming in here anyway. And another seal over there. Look at that. So this place has got my seal of approval.
If you'd like to hear more episodes, then you can head over to countrysidepodcast.co.uk. And if you need any technical help, we're on hand. You can send us an email, chris@countrysidepodcast.co.uk, or if email isn't available option for you, then you can call us and leave a message on 01603 273 899. That's 01603 273 899.